Thanks for listening to For Crying Out Loud on Podcast One.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner, or go to podcastone.com/mysurvey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at podcastone.com/mysurvey, or click on the survey banner on podcast1.com.
Made a decision. I'll face the sunny side head on. I had a vision of what it might be like to reach.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to For Crying Out Loud, Labor Day edition.
Exactly.
Happy day after Labor Day. Oh, I bet everybody's got hangovers today. Not us. You know why?
We're working.
That's right.
We're working, ladies.
That's right. And even if we weren't working, Stephanie wouldn't have a hangover.
No,
she'd
I wouldn't.
She'd have a kid hangover.
I would have an overparenting, a helicoptering hangover.
Right.
Guess what?
Yes.
We have a guest today.
Yeah, special guest in studio.
If you're a member of our Facebook group, For Crying Out Loud, Reel It In, you know that we're recording with Laura London today.
Mm-hmm.
Laura London is a dog trainer, but so much more than a dog trainer.
Thank you.
We were trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
You called yourself, what, a puppy concierge?
Oh, and everything from like a doggy doula to a canine concierge to a puppy nanny to a...
What is a canine concierge? Maybe I want one of those.
I do so much for my clients, and it could be because I'm in L.A.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I'll do anything. What if I'm training your dog and we're out and about? Like, I'll pick up dog food for you, or I'll take him to the vet, or, clip their nails or give them a bath.
I need to clip them.
Do stuff like that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That reminds me that I want to ask you about that.
Yeah.
I feel like...
Yeah, we have a... Yeah.
I was telling you before the show that we rarely have guests because
right.
our audience, you know who you are, they go like, we don't really like guests. We don't care. We just want to hear you talk.
Well, I'm honored to be here. It's pretty awesome.
And not, but I, from as soon as I met you, was like, you need to come and do our show because a lot of people have, I don't know if you know this, a lot of people have dogs.
Yes, I do.
And Lynette
dogs
was
and
having
kids, man.
Problems.
They're popular.
They're really popular,
yeah.
Especially, you know, on a parenting podcast. A lot
right.
of our listeners have kids. Some don't.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's interested, I think, in at least hearing about it's. I think of Laura as a doggy behavioralist.
Yeah.
Because it's like she, as soon as she met Penelope, it was almost like they had like a, she was like, let me, not like a psychic.
Right.
I don't want to say it's like airy fairy like that, but like she gets dogs. Like she was like, okay, I got you. Yeah, I know. I already see what this is, what's happening here. And then I was like, no, but you got to go on a walk. You have to see it in action. She was like, no, I can imagine. And then you saw it in action and you were like, wow.
That was crazy.
I was like, we got to get it. We got to rile her up so she does it.
Right.
You know, when you're like,
what was she doing?
She was doing this thing where she would like see a squirrel
or
a cat
squirrel.
And then lose her mind
lose
and
it.
Go crazy, lose it, freak out. It was like she was having
like
an
shark
out of body.
Week. Yeah, like eyes rolled back, like she out of body, like can't respond, like she was out of her mind.
She was gone.
Yeah.
And then she would, she would get out of the harness that I had her in.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get really scared because she would get out and then go try to kill the cat. And then remember, I was like, I don't know what to do with this dog.
Yeah.
I can't walk her.
Right.
And then I went and got her fitted with a new harness. And I was like, I can't believe this sweet dog at every other time loses it so bad. But then Laura came over.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, da, da.
She walked with me.
How did
me.
You find Laura?
So the rescue where I got Penelope is called Rescue from the Heart, H-A-R-T.
Mm-hmm.
And Annie Hart is the one who originated the – and I texted her and I was like, I love Penelope, but help me. She gets out of every harness. And she was like, okay, you need to call Laura.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. And Laura was like, okay. Came over like a therapist. You pay her by the hour.
I called
to my
Laura.
House.
She had no time.
That's because she was busy taping, making a show, but now she's done with the show.
So what happens when you're in Hollywood? Can't get a stupid dog behavioralist on the phone.
She's like, sorry, I'm doing the Today Show, but...
just hoping to
have good ones get snatched
Kathy
up.
Leonhoda. Never happened. It was really
Kaylin. Hi, Kaylin. Can you turn these lights down?
So, you know what? You. Before we get into your whole thing and your dogged doula, let's just talk about really quickly Leah Remini's Scientology show.
Before the show started, you were telling me that you've been
watching. You're loving it too?
I'm a total fan. Yeah, for sure.
I just watched an episode last night where, oh my God. Did you see the one with the girl with the red hair who was third generation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's third generation Scientology. Her parents were Scientologists. Her grandparents were Scientologists. Mm-hmm. And the mom basically was like Sea Org and kind of centered a – so the mom sends the brother – to boarding school when he's only like
8. Yeah. Because of like kids are having problems. Sorry, Scientology, I'm paraphrasing your teachings because I don't know them. But they claim that there's all this like in utero drama that you put your kids through. So if they grow up and they have, I don't know, regular childhood development and behavior issues, like fussiness.
Right.
It's because you traumatized them while they were in the womb. Right. The best thing for you to do, because you keep flipping that switch.
Yeah, you keep re-traumatizing them.
Send them away.
Mm-hmm.
It's madness.
It is.
Yeah.
It's child abuse.
So the mom sent her
goes on.
So the mom sent her son away. The daughter then also got sent away at some point. So then the dad dies while they're both sent away somewhere. Mm-hmm. So then the parents, because I guess this is another thing in Scientology, they didn't want to talk about it. The mom didn't want to ever talk about the fact that the dad died. So anyway, the brother ends
They're not
up,
so good at grieving.
Mm. How'd the dad die?
They got a heart attack. Or something. Yeah.
You know, Scientology related, I'm sure. So anyway, it has a very tragic ending. Should I spoiler alert or should I?
Hey, go ahead.
Well, what's Scientology, it's always going to be a tragic ending.
Yeah, the brother ends up committing suicide really young. And then the daughter, the girl who's the show's about is like, denounced, you know, she's trying to spread the word that like they were traumatized in Scientology.
It's horrible.
And she seems like kind of a hot mess. Well, anyway, you got to see it.
She's got great hair.
If you want to watch it.
I don't know who did her blowout, but like that hair, I was just like, I just
probably dry bar.
I know. It was like hard to take your eyes off it.
Right. It was a little big in that, you know, in some of her interview things, but
yeah.
But, you know, other than that.
You can go to A&E and check it out. And the A&E app, right? It's on the A&E app. Or go to AETV.com shows Leah Remini, Scientology,
and
the Aftermath. Yeah. It's in its second season.
Yeah.
It's so good.
So back to Laura. How did you get into – give us a little backstory. How did you get into being a doggy doula?
I was always, like, really intuitive with dogs, like, even as a little person. And since my parents didn't send me away to boarding school, I was able
to sound like Leah Remini a little bit.
Really?
If you had the East Coast accent, yeah, the nails.
So I know those nails. They're those like nails. Hypnotic when you watch the show. I know. And her lip gloss. Anyways.
The jangling of her bracelet.
I know. She's the best. Love you, Leah. So I was just really intuitive, and I was like that with my own dogs and with neighbor dogs, and I was, you know, babysitting dogs and knew all the dogs in the neighborhood, all that stuff. Then I really didn't foster it very much. I did what most people do, and you just go to school and you go to college and you get a job. And I came from a pretty traditional family, not a lot of entrepreneurs. It's like get a job, die in that job, everything's fine. So I kind of was on that path, and it obviously wasn't feeding my soul at all. I was here in Los Angeles, and I just decided that, like, I just wanted to do dogs, like, all the time. I needed to figure out how to make a career out of it because, you know, this was, like, 11-ish years ago. So you could be a vet, which then you'd have to go to school and know science.
Right.
And that's not happening. But what could you do? And so I decided I was going to just figure it out, and I did. I just took the leap, and I left the job I had. I was working in human resources and entertainment and hospitality here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And I just like left all the fun bennies of that to work in like a daycare boarding
facility.
Well,
that's one thing is that a lot of people don't do is that they want to do a line of work but they're working in a line of, and they're working in a career or business that they can't leave because they get benefits and they get paid much better than they would in maybe that artistic or working with animals or whatever it is. So they never do make that leap because they have to have that. So how did you save money? How did you do that?
I think what I did.
Trust fund baby.
Yeah, you got me. No, I think I was just able to, because it was dog training, and I think you can do this, and I think they say this anyways when they're trying to do this, take 10% of your time or your money and put it towards that. So I was taking my time, weekends, training friends' dogs, doing things like that, training my own dog, and like honing my skills and getting like being like, I can do this.
Smart.
Like, but so by the time I was like, I am ready, I was just looking for jobs, and that was the hard part because I was looking, still looking for a job to work for somebody else to get benefits and get paid for training dogs, which is a really small job market.
Right.
But I was able to find like this dog daycare place that was looking for a general manager. And I had all this other experience that would make me a good general manager. I had human resources. I had retail. I had this stuff. And then I was like,
yeah,
and then I'm going to just do all this dog stuff. And so that's kind of how it worked out. So it was really kind of the perfect job to cut my teeth. In the industry, and then, you know, I'd be out on the floor with like 70 dogs off leash, and I'm like, I'm gonna learn so much about body language, and that's exactly where I learned it. Like, I can, so it's like I can look at a dog and be like, I can observe every muscle in your body and know what you're saying, if you're happy to be here, if you're not happy to be here, if you're about to bite that dog in the nose or you're not, or whatever the case is. So that was a really, really great place to start. And then from there, I worked at a training facility where I just trained all the time, and I did like 24 classes a week, and I worked 70 million hours, a day. And then I was like, I could do this for myself. Yeah, so I quit, and now I've been doing it for myself ever since, and it's not, know, and it's like not working. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that that you have a really specific training system, or do you feel like different things work for different dogs and you have to meet the dog?
Yeah. I think I do think different things work for different dogs. Every dog's is an individual. So I mean, my base is like positive reinforcement training. Like, I'm not using a lot of force to get these dogs to do what they need to do. And I'm also looking at it on each, not only each dog, but each family. Like, when I went to your house, I'm like, did you need the perfect dog? Did you need her to be a robot when she was outside? Did you need her to do all these other tricks? No.
I just need her not to.
You just need her not to
kill somebody.
Not
to kill no lawsuits. Squirrels.
I want to just stay under the radar, not get sued, and not have her get hit by a car when she's chasing a cat.
Right, that's the big thing.
I mean, God, that's so scary when your dog goes free. You're like, car.
Yeah.
So it had to fit with what you wanted in your lifestyle. So I look at every client. I'm like, what do you need? Some people want more. Some people want less. Some people, first-time dog owners, sometimes they just need to, like, I don't remember. It's been a while, you know? So, yeah, everything is kind of custom.
Right.
Now, did you – I feel like you worked for a while with, like, pit bulls
at Griffith Park. Yeah, so there's a rescue here in Los Angeles called Angel City Pit Bulls. Yay. They're really an amazing rescue. They do a lot of post-rescue stuff, so they don't, like, abandon you once you get this dog. They have, like, a lot of alumni stuff. They have hikes, and they offer free training to L.A. Anybody in L.A. who's got a pit bull or pit bull-type dog, since we don't really know what that is anyways, you can come to these community classes in Griffith Park and get an obedience class, which we call owner focus, or a leash class, which is called movement and proximity. They're 6 weeks long. We offer them all the time, almost like rotating throughout the year. And it's free to the people who want to come. They just have to go to angelcitypits.org, find the information, send in a little info request.
Wow. Okay.
That's very cool.
And so I do that every Saturday.
And what do you say, like, before we even get into more stuff, like, what do you say? I think this is super interesting. Like, before I got Penelope, I know that people say that there are people that just love pit bulls and that, you know, are swear by pit bulls. You know, I had that that thing in my head that was like, yeah, pit bulls are great, but, you know, they can turn on you and like eat your kid. And it's funny because I remember talking about what kind of when I was looking to get a dog, and people were like, don't get a pit bull. And I was like, I don't want a pit bull. And then some people were like, pit bulls are great. They get a bad rap, you know. Then we got Penelope. And it's just funny because when I would look at dogs, I'd be like, no pit bull. And Penelope definitely has pit in her.
Totally.
Which is hilarious.
She's because a furry pit bull.
Yeah, she's just a wire-haired. She's definitely a mix. But when we got her, I was like, this dog is like got pit bull. She's the nicest dog on the planet, and of course I immediately became one of those people that was like, pit bulls get a bad rap. Yeah, they're right. Such good dogs, you
right.
know. Oh, so what do you think?
Most vets have pit bulls, right? I mean,
why do they get a bad rap? Is it just because I feel like there's been dogs through the ages. Like when I was growing up, Dobermans were the ones
Me
they
too.
Had a bad
totally
rap.
The I was not allowed to go to my friend's house that had a Doberman. Not
yeah.
allowed.
Everyone was no. like, oh, those dogs are the most angry, aggressive dogs. And then it was like on to Rottweilers.
Yep.
Because yeah. of the movie Omen or whatever, right?
Oh, right. Because those are like some scary
yeah,
haunted
hell because they're possessed.
Yeah.
So do you think having worked with what they call, right, bully breeds,
mm-hmm.
is that a thing? Is
well,
it in their
in defense
DNA?
Of Dobermans, I'd be angry too if you cut my ears off and lopped
know,
my
right?
tail off. I'd be
right?
kind of pissed off. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just kind of, mm-hmm. I hold grudges.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that to pit bulls. You see those sad pit bulls whose ears have been like cut off with scissors.
Oh
like
my
it kills
God.
Me.
Yeah, I know.
But they're still super cute.
Mm-hmm.
But like you don't want to have one because someone's going to be like, why'd you cut off with your fly? Didn't I rescue you? It's a long story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think all dogs. If they're not treated as dogs and given boundaries and respect and trust and all those good things you should give them and have some training, have the propensity to bite you.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they don't have words. They have teeth.
Right. Yeah.
So when you treat them like they're people and they can tell you what's wrong or get out of my space and they can't and you don't listen, whatever the case is, they'll bite you. And small dogs bite all the time.
Right.
And they're so fast. Chihuahuas and dachshunds, and I got bit by Pekingese when I was 9 years old, and oh my gosh, I got bit by a German Shepherd too, but I saw it coming. I was like, I'm going to just dodge this because it's a big dog.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is math. A big dog's always going to do more damage than a little dog. I mean, I've been gone to people's homes who have a Chihuahua
yes.
who's bit everyone yes. in the family.
Yes.
If you had a pit bull or a large breed dog that has bit everyone in the family, that dog wouldn't
yes.
still be in the house.
Yeah.
Right.
It wouldn't be accepted. But you
right.
can pick it up and go, no, Fifi, don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
right.
So yeah, pit bulls are strong. They're super strong. And, yeah, if they bite you,
but what
it's
about the
really
idea
hurt.
That pit bulls can turn on you? Like that, you know, these people, you hear about these stories that people that had a pit bull for years and years, and it was the greatest dog, and then one day it, like, ate their kid.
I'm not totally behind turning. I don't really think that happens. I think those are people who are not paying attention to their dog's body language and they're being cocky and they're being negligent in doing things like leaving the child alone with the dog.
right.
Because dog kids are, you know, obnoxious.
Yeah, yeah.
Love you all, but you're obnoxious and you can pull things
oh,
and poke things and
Howard
things.
Stern's wife who rescues animals, mostly kittens, and brings them home and then the cat has kittens and at some point he has like 25 cats in his house and he gets attached to every single one of them. And they dropped off one. He was telling the story how he dropped off one. His wife dropped off one at a house last night. And they were really sad. And they were like, she was crying when she got home. And he was upset. And he was like, oh, so what's the family like? She's like, they're a great family. They have two kids. And he's like, what? Two kids? Why'd you give them to a house that has kids? No offense, but no. Kids are assholes when it comes to, especially kittens. They pick them up. They,
right,
they
throw
they
drop
them around. They drop
juggle them.
Juggle them. Yes. Cat juggling is a real thing.
It is,
and,
yeah.
And then the owner, this just happened like 3 days. Then the owner called, and she's like, hi, Howard, this is Margaret, the one that Beth dropped the kitty cats out last night. I promise you, my kids are not going to do that to the cat. He's like, all right, well, no offense, but just keep those kids away from the cat. Damn it. Tell
yeah.
Beth.
I mean, yeah.
Not kittens, for God's sakes. Cats, maybe. Not kittens. Not at a house with kids.
It's too dangerous.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, so kids can be, you know, jerks and... And so, you know, when you're talking about smaller kids who can poke and prod a dog, you know,
mm-hmm.
that could be something. You don't know. Sometimes dogs have a health problem. Like they might have a really bad ear infection. And if you go to just barely gently tug their ear or pet them, they can be like, nah, you
yeah.
know. And so you just have to be aware of all of those things. And if you aren't paying attention to your dog's health, noticing they have an ear infection or noticing they're, you know, whatever, limping or tilting their head or whatever the case is, if it's a health problem or if their body language is shutting down and they're like looking away and licking their lips and looking at the floor and sitting down and just like, please get away from me, and yawning a lot. Like they're doing, they're doing everything to tell you to like get away from me.
Well, let me ask you. Let me ask you this.
You ask. I'm gonna tell Kaylin to do something for me. This has is dog related. So
okay. Keep going.
So let me. So this is just something that people probably think. I don't know. Maybe I'll get shit for this. But okay. Do you think that there's more that you're more likely to have a problem with your kids with a pit bull than with a lab? Like, I bet you there's people that are just like, look, better safe than sorry. Labs don't hurt anybody ever, and pit bulls do. But is that true? Because, like, I would trust any newborn baby, any kid with Penelope. I can't – you can do anything to her face. You can – I have to put drops in her eyes every night. Mm-hmm. I do lots of stuff that bugs her, mm-hmm. and she has never so much as growled at a person.
Yeah. No. I all of my – all my opinions are going to be anecdotal. Like, I'm sure somebody's going to be like, well, statistically, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I have three dogs, and they wouldn't hurt. They love kids. Love them. And I would trust my dogs to be around kids. I still wouldn't leave them alone in a room with a little kid. Because they're a dog.
Right.
And, like, literally, they could actually scratch their face or something like that, you know, jumping up on them and knocking them down. And then they're scared or the kid hits their head when they fall. And, you know, there's just other things that can happen. But, like, when my Frenchie, Chappie, hears a baby cry, he must get to it and lick its feet immediately. He loves them so much, and he'll do anything to, like, calm
them. What kind of dog is he?
He's a French bulldog.
Oh, those are so cute.
Yeah, he's a snorty, farty mess.
So do you think maybe one of the things people have to pay attention to is, like, the background of a dog? You know, if you're going to rescue
a dog... Well, the tough thing is that you have no idea with rescue. Right. You have some, like, bleeding heart, meant that in a good way, rescue person who's like... Well, we think blah, 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 blah. And they just make up a story. And, you know, you just can't make up stories. You can only observe behavior. Like, so when I met Penelope, it was like, I don't know where you came from. I don't know what you lived through or didn't or whatever. But I can observe behaviors that you were showing me. And from those observable behaviors, I can say, that means this. Or that's probably going to mean this. And that comes from here.
Like what?
Well, you can, like, well, we were talking earlier about, like, guarding, like, resource guarding. So, like, dogs that guard their food. They could guard their food for a number of reasons. But I don't care what those reasons are because in the media, like, they're guarding their food right now. Mm-hmm. So I got to feed them separately, or I have to feed them at different times if I have more than one dog. I have to be aware of that. I have to have kids away from the dog when the dog's eating, or the dog just eats in the crate so it's safe and it doesn't feel like it's got to, you know, guard its food.
So what do you think some reasons – could be that a dog guards its food, even though you don't care. But, like, can people cause a dog to develop food guarding behaviors?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you have a dog that had any time on the street, they'll probably guard food because it was hard to find. So it's a scarcity issue.
Yeah.
Or if they were the runt in their litter and everybody pushed them away from the food, scarcity issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a dog that's just, like, a little insecure, they could want to guard their food. You could also have a dog that's a little too confident that also guards their food because they don't want anyone else to have it. Food guarding, I think, is a much easier thing to deal with than, like, non-food item guarding, because I can be like, okay, it's food. You're not good with food. I can put you in the crate. But if it's like, oh, no, it's toys because your toys look like my child's toys, which look like, you know, now I don't know what you think is yours.
Right.
Oh, you think the corner of the couch is yours. Oh, the blanket's yours. Now – it gets foggy. So if you have a dog who guards non-food items, you have to be on way higher alert than on a food item thing, I think.
Okay, mm-hmm. I have a question. So while we're talking about behavior. So we have a purebred lab, weighs about 100 pounds.
Oh, my God.
He's not even two yet. Yeah. And but he's purebred, and the behavior thing – okay, so he had two seizures so far.
He had another one?
Yeah, he had another one. I didn't tell you that?
No.
Yeah, around the same time. So I looked it up, and they, like, you know, pay attention to what time of day and what they're doing when they're having – well, it's when he's asleep, in a deep sleep, and he gets up, and
he sort of has that gurgling, like he's, you know, the labs, how they do that spit up thing. And then he just falls over. This time I knew what was going on, thank God. And Adam was there, thank God. And it was, again, even though, you know, it's the first time I thought he was choking on a bone, because I've seen him cough up a bone. Not bones.
From a lab.
Yeah, like the bully sticks. Right. Like about 3 inches long. I mean, I've seen that. So when the first time it happened, I pictured one of those things stuck in his throat. Anyway, so, well, the seizure thing. But when I called the vet, okay, the first time when I was on the phone with the vet to tell the vet that the dog had the seizure, it was the next morning. I was in the car with my son going to a basketball game. The receptionist, she says, oh, I'm sorry, Phil had a seizure. Okay. And then she's like, you know, it was a full moon last night. So that, you know, dogs tend to have seizures. And Sonny and I looked at each other like, what? Okay. Okay, really?
Did she ask you what Phil's sign is?
I was
Capricorns
waiting. Yeah,
do tend to have.
I think
more
he
seizures.
Is a Capricorn, actually. So then, but here's the weird thing. Last night, I was at Dr. Drew's house, man of science, and one of his like colleagues was saying, "Oh, they were talking about a full moon for dogs with seizures. There's something to it." I was like, "Are you kidding? Really?" And I went and got Sonny to listen, and yeah, they were saying, "Do you have you heard that?"
Yes.
And you have?
Yeah. And I when See, we just had
I
that.
I thought we were all pranking
when
you.
We just had know. That eclipse, people were like, watch your dogs, dude. If your dogs have seizures, keep your eye on your dogs.
I didn't
There's
hear that.
An eclipse.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, my God. When did he have?
Stop it.
Oh, my God. I think he had it the morning of the eclipse. I have
really?
Get a calendar. I'm going to have to think
Get
about
a calendar.
It.
Get a calendar. I need to know that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, my sister's French Bulldog has started having seizures, and it's totally heartbreaking, and it's super sad, and, like, I hate getting the texts from her. Like, you had another one last night, sad face, dog face. Like, totally sad.
Do they have it at the same time usually?
I don't know. Yeah, I think, you know, he has started having them, like, clusters, which I guess is worse than if you just have one for, like, a minute and then, like, too Nothing. Excited or you have another one or something like that. That's not as bad as he's clusters that he was having. So he's on meds and trying to regulate him and stuff. But yeah, it's just sad. I had a dog who had a seizure, but it was towards the end of her life, and like she had two seizures, and like the second one I'm like, we're cool, we're done. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll let you go.
Right.
But it's so scary.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't prepare for it. Like the first time you see it, it's horrifying.
Right. So it was 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to tell the whole story again, but it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was alone with 3 kids in the house.
Ugh.
And 2 of the girls were having a sleepover. My son was actually camping out in my bedroom, and he's 11, and he watched it happen too. But at 4 o'clock in the morning, when he started doing that. And they threw up a little bit, and I was like, oh, Phil threw up. And I got up to get him a towel, and then he did like a choking move. Ugh. And I thought he was choking. I had no idea it was a seizure. And I, at that point, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I have a 100-pound lab in my bedroom, like choking, my brain right. choking. And he falls over and he starts doing the doggy paddling, like he's trying to do something about it. And at first I stick my hand in his mouth and I'm trying to like get, because the first thing I think is right. I'm going to pull that thing right out. Right. I pulled shit out of his mouth before, no problemo. Like my sock, rope, I mean, his toys. But this time his
TV
his
remote.
His mouth was clenched, so I couldn't, he bit my finger a little bit. Then I don't know what I'm like. I start panicking in front of my son, hoping my son at some point in the back of my brain going, well, he watches Animal, you know, my brain. He watches the Animal Network. Maybe he saw something about it and he knows what to do.
Right.
So I go, he's choking. I pick the phone. I call 911. I can't see. We're in a new bedroom that we just moved into. It's dark. I have a bad eyes.
What did 911 say?
I had now. What am I going to do? Like, I know you think I'm nuts, but like, so I call 911 thinking they're going to go, we're not going to help you, but this is what you do. If you have a dog that's choking, you're going to want to do the Heimlich.
Yeah, that's what I would
know.
Do.
That's
I would
what
call
I thought. Like, talk me through what to do. I know you're not going to help. What? Tell me what to do. And she's like, ah, ma'am. She says, hold on. She says, did you say your daughter's choking? I said, no, my dog. And she's like, okay, well, you're going to have to call the animal hospital. And I was like, what?
I don't, what animal hospital? Aww. What do you think? I got their number just sitting next to my bed. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. It's pitch black. I'm by myself. I kept saying, I'm by myself with kids. I don't, what do I, I'm not going to put them in a car and take them or what? What do I do? She's like, you got to call the hospital. Got to call the hospital. And then, you know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes later, as I'm pacing back and forth going, he's dying in front of us. He's dying in front of us.
He stops.
He just stops and he jumps up and he's looking at me wagging his tail going, what the? Yeah, he's hey, looking mom. At, yeah, and he let out this guttural, like, this guttural moan a couple times when he was having the seizure. So I just thought he was dying. And at one point, I thought, just happen fast. Let it be over quick. I don't want him suffering anymore. And then he just popped up and he was like, what's going on? Why are you over there standing over there pacing in the middle of the night? And he was fine. So my question, what do I do if my dog is choking? What do you do if you see – and what are the signs of a choking dog?
No. She just did the international
pause
human.
Pause to the throat. Well, I would –
because I've performed a Heimlich before and it worked.
And I've done that with my own dogs. I've just like got behind them and just totally like
I did it on a person.
Heimlicked my dogs, like put my fist under the rib cage.
So you can do that.
Yeah, yeah. And okay. I've lifted their legs up. Now see, you've got a huge animal though. You need like
I can do it.
A cherry picker to like pick up his I'm literally my French bulldog's so small I've picked him up and like pat his back really hard like a baby before and he's you know.
So what would the first if you had a big dog like that choking, what would the first
Well, preventatively speaking, I would tell everybody to take your phone out today, put in your vet's number if it's not in there,
and
put in the closest 24-hour emergency vet hospital to you because that might not be your vet in your phone.
Done.
Because that's exactly what happens. You're like, I don't know. And then you're trying to Google. Like,
that's what I was doing. Yeah. I was Googling while he was seizing.
And just put it in your phone so you know exactly how to get to it. Okay. But yeah, I mean, the thing is,
so you could do
like,
the Heimlich.
I've done the Heimlich. I've thrown my, you know, arm down their throat and pulled things out before.
Okay.
A lot of the times they work it out.
Right.
Most of the dogs that have started choking have just been like, and then it comes out and you're like, oh God.
Right.
Yeah.
But with him, he swallows like big, humongous things, like sticks and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, was picturing it just lodged.
Ugh.
So I don't know. The vet told me, she said, with a dog that big, there's nothing you can do. I choose not to believe that, but that's what she said.
Time for a new vet.
She's old school. I like her, though. She's like mom, pa, vet. Like, they don't gouge. Like
We shoot dogs, too.
No, she's so sweet. Like, she's... Yeah, but she was like, because his...
You're like, my dog chews a lot.
So, like, his barrel body is huge. She says that the... She said you can try, but that the force of the wind coming up is not going to be strong enough because his body's so huge.
I think with a dog like Phil, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious.
Thank you.
Like your bigger concern would be bloat, which is a totally scary, horrible thing that can happen and kill your dog in
Marley
30 minutes.
What's that?
Generally, like barrel-chested dogs, like Labs and things like that. Their intestines, their belly gets all twisted up.
Oh, that happened to my dog growing up.
And like you'll be able to tell because they'll usually like fall over. If you look at their gums, they're like pale and their tongue's dry. Like you have like about 30 minutes to get them to the vet.
Yeah, we had a dog die of that.
They can do.
What are the
our
symptoms?
Lab. We had a half Irish setter.
Cute.
And we were on a camping trip.
Boo.
Howling, crying. We took him to an emergency vet, but was like 30 miles away.
Right.
We got there. They did emergency surgery, and he didn't. He didn't make it.
What are the signs?
Well, things that could happen, like is Phil like drinks a ton of water and then goes play, or eats a lot of food and then goes and play. This is like comes into like when mom's like, wait a half hour before you swim.
Yes.
Like this is that sort of thing.
Right.
So they gotta just. Not go play right after they gulp a bunch of water.
Digest.
They have to just give them a little break. But yeah, all of a sudden they would just be acting strange. A lot of times they just fall over. Like they're kind of gaspy and then they just like collapse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
God.
I know.
I ran a daycare and so we had to, you know, you'd have 40 dogs on the floor and you'd have to watch for that because they'd play so hard. And, you know, there were times when we're like, bloat!
Mm-hmm.
And pull a dog and run it to the vet and, you know,
and
save it.
Now, I have another question. Mm-hmm. Do we want to wait or do we want to...
Well, let's take a little break mm-hmm. and talk about Go-Go Squeeze.
Ah, Laura, you heard about Go-Go Squeeze?
I have not. What is that?
It's delicious. It's a snack.
Snacks on the go.
Snack. Mm-hmm. I love snacks.
Yes. Very convenient, delicious, and no artificial flavors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's people food, though.
Yeah.
So Go-Go Squeeze. It's all natural, 100% fruit, no artificial anything, just orchard fresh apples and other wholesome fruit. You know, Lynette and I have to come up with new and interesting snacks
all the time
for our kids. And mm-hmm. it's challenging, you mm-hmm. know? And you don't want some other mom giving you like the side eye, like, oh, really? Fruit roll-ups again? Like, you know, those have a lot of sugar in them. And then you're like, you know what?
Back
I don't
off.
Need this right now.
Don't judge.
I don't need this.
No judge.
That's
no
where
judge.
Go-Go Squeeze comes in. They're pouches. You've seen them in the store. There's so many different types. There's veggies blend, like Mighty Mango with apple, mango, and butternut squash, or Zippin' Zingin' Pear with pears and apples and carrots. There's so many.
So many.
But you can totally feed that to your dog, too.
You yeah, could.
Absolutely. Yeah. Zhuzh up their kibble if they're not wanting to eat it.
You know what?
They'd be all over
you
it.
You just gave it's me a really good idea. So Go-Go Squeeze. Go to the store and look for Go-Go Squeeze and remember
everywhere.
We told you about it and get some.
Yeah.
That's all. I want to know if you would like to take some questions. Our listeners have a lot of questions, and I don't want you to feel – listen, Laura is not – she's not a miracle worker. She's not in your house. She could be in your house.
But she is here
to
dance.
If you live in Los Angeles.
And we got questions.
Yeah. And we would love for you guys to be engaged. Now, so yesterday I went on, for crying out loud, Reel It In. That's our new groovy – Facebook.
Yeah.
Group.
Yeah, I haven't joined it yet. I don't know what you're waiting
and
for.
And a lot of people had questions. Can you, Kaylin, can you make it any bigger so we can see it?
Did you pick the questions, Steph?
Or do well, you no, but just I thought Laura could scroll through and pick what she wants, okay. what she thinks. Okay, so.
Okay. There's one.
Okay.
Yeah.
From Jen Hicks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Best way to relieve separation anxiety.
Cool.
So separation anxiety can be really specific. So some dogs just have generalized anxiety. So anything left on the floor or chews or paws when left alone more than a few hours. They've tried thunder shirts and sprays and nothing really helps.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what kind of dog this is. I don't know how old it is. I don't know its background. But I can say some general things.
Sure.
I do like the thunder shirts that they've tried and hasn't helped.
How do they work? They
it's like
like squeeze
tight T-shirt.
What's so that supposed to do? Like annoy the shit out of the
it's
dog?
It's weighted.
Like swaddling.
I know what it is, but like, does it really
it's
work?
Like, it's like swaddling.
It just seems and like they, it would just annoy
some
Phil.
Some dogs don't like it.
It would tear it apart.
I don't think they make them big enough for Phil.
Not probably
sadly.
Not. No.
But they use them when they're doing inoculations for cattle. They have like these little squeeze things that they put cows in, and it calms them down, and they inoculate them.
Mm-hmm.
Them out. So
mm-hmm.
that's where that comes from.
Okay.
So, but I would recommend, you know, if this dog is in generally anxious, I would recommend some group training classes, honestly. Like, build the bond between your dog and you. Go to, you know, if you have to go to one of the big box stores and take some silly class, go for it. If that's mm-hmm. all that's in your area, you can hire a trainer for sure and do some stuff. But if your dog starts developing a relationship with you and like wanting to work for you, like use their brain, because a lot of that anxiety comes from unused brain
right.
energy. So exercise is important. Food games, like food puzzles are fun. Some dogs, you'll give them a food puzzle or a really delicious marrow bone and you'll put them in your crate and to leave them and they don't touch it until you come home. And there's nothing you can do about that. So sometimes it doesn't work. But I would definitely have this dog crate trained so it doesn't destroy stuff in the house mm-hmm. when you're alone,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
The paw licking, if it's really just when they leave, or is that a food allergy? Like, my dog's allergic to actually the grass. Lucky me.
Mm.
And so if he's on certain grasses, he'll have really bad inflamed paws. And so it could come to that. You could also put a cone on her so she can't get to her paws when she's in her crate. And you kind of like to manage it, manage some of the symptoms of anxiety. You can do some training to like lessen some of the other ones. And then really, if you feel like you're at the end of your rope, I would talk to your vet about medication.
Oh.
Because it'll improve. I mean, I've got a couple dogs on clients on puppy Prozac. And it just kind of takes the edge off and makes the dog a little more receptive to training.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah. Kaylin, you have any
– get your dog an IPA.
Kaylin, don't you have a
You have any questions?
Well, my dog is still a puppy, and so he's so excited all the time. Especially when I'm out on walks, and sometimes he sees other dogs or squirrels, he kind of... How do I kind of train him to not just kind of run and yank my arm out of my socket when he sees a dog that he likes or a squirrel running across
the street? What kind of dog is he?
A German Shepherd Chow mix.
Oh, lucky you. And how old is he?
He's going to be 2 in November.
Didn't you say he was a puppy?
Well, I figured it's 2 was still
he's
going to
be 2. He's going to be 16.
Yeah, mine's going to be 2. Isn't that not, that's not driving. A puppy anymore?
Well, no.
Right. I hear they stop growing at around 2, so I figure that's when you can officially from puppy to older.
Okay, so I think it's like having kids where you just excuse it for you're like, oh, they're still a puppy. Like when your kid's having really bad behavior issues, you're like, they're still a toddler. Oh, no, they're 7.
What kind of training have you had her? Did you say she?
Him.
Him. Have you had him since he was little?
Yeah, 10 weeks old I got him.
Okay, and what kind of training have you been doing this last 2 years?
Well, it was mostly just me training him myself. So I didn't get any kind of like formal training.
All right. So
that means no training.
That's the biggest problem, right? So that's like you have a child who you haven't enrolled in school and you've not been homeschooling. And now you're like, why doesn't he get along with anybody at the playground?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right. Because you've not prepared him for that. Mm-hmm. So
well, I mean,
shame
I introduced him. I introduced him to the they had like a dog puppy Saturday class. So he'd play with them for a while, and I'd ask them questions, and I knew owners. So I did give him training. I taught him how to go outside, and I can't get anything out of his mouth when he gets it, but he can sit. He can lay down. He obeys commands pretty well, and he plays with other dogs great. He loves every other dog. It's just sometimes he gets too excited. I want to know how to get him to just kind of sit still a bit better rather than just, just pop off.
So how often does he get to play with other dogs?
I take him to the park usually between 3 or 4 times a week. But,
like the dog park?
No, I don't like the dog park because
I don't either. Yeah. It's a horrible place.
Yeah, it's not good. So I take him to the regular park, and he loves his ball. So he just wants to play with his ball. I kind of let him go around, but he doesn't even care about playing with other dogs anymore as long as the ball's there. So
okay. Does
but
he like
walks,
treats?
He loves. Yeah, yeah, he does.
Like treats? Do you ever walk with the ball or with treats?
I used to walk with the ball. Sometimes I walk to the park, so I'll have it in my pocket.
Okay. So if you have to train him to pay attention to you on the walk, you need to be more exciting. So
that's
going to
be a problem.
That's going to be challenging.
Let that on a
So you need to have treats with you so you can reward him because you've got no leverage, really.
Right.
And if he likes other dogs, he's probably just leash frustration. He just wants to see every other dog, which is a problem in L.A. Because everybody, go to the dog park and they go to daycare and they have all this dog-to-dog stuff. So all these dogs like each other more than they like us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're like, our dog doesn't listen to me. It's like, well, because you don't spend any time with your dog. Mm-hmm. So I would say you need to train your dog. Like,
just do it better.
He just needs to learn how. He needs, you can come to the movement class, even though he's not a pit bull. Because we don't want anybody.
Really? Anybody can come?
Well, I mean, I can veto it.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Like, if people need help, we're not going to be like, oh, sorry. If you need help, we're there to help you. We'll figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
Leash walking is probably the hardest thing for people to train their dogs because it's the thing that takes most time out of your day. So you can, sit and lay down in the house, like, before I give you food and stuff like that. And you can pepper your day with that. But, like, honestly, you have to leave the house for, like, 30 to 50 minutes and walk your dog in your neighborhood. And that's time out of your day.
Mm-hmm,
like, if you're like, oh, I'm so busy, I can't even get to the gym. Well, you're certainly not going to walk your dog around the block in hopes of getting it to learn how to walk next to you. So you've got to learn. It's got to learn how to, like, pay attention to you only, how to walk next to you on a loose leash, how to ignore other dogs. So there's already, like, 3 commands that you have to teach when you're walking.
Right.
So, I had a dog that was really reactive on leash, and I had to teach a watch me command for him to look at me even, to acknowledge me.
Right.
A leave it command to, like, ignore what's over there. And, like, a touch command to, like, literally touch my hand and we're going to keep walking. So it wasn't like, heel, and everything was cool.
Yeah.
It was like a total, like, layered cake of
commands.
Laura,
isn't there some, like, the most important... One trainer told me the most important command, for they're not going to learn anything. They will learn, but most important one is when you're walking or the dog is outside for safety reasons, there's got to be a word that you use that the dog is going to immediately stop and come back to you or whatever.
Yeah, they call that like an emergency recall.
Right.
Very few people train an emergency recall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really ever train emergency recalls.
Right, because shouldn't it just be like, hey, come back or whatever your what the word is? Retrieve.
Yeah, you.
Retreat.
Cookie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my recall word.
Cookie.
Cookie.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. Okay. What you got?
So I think, you know, out in public, your dog should always be on a leash, so you shouldn't have to be, like, losing it. You know, safety is like, a leash to me is like a seatbelt in a car. I don't wear one because I'm a shitty driver.
Mm-hmm.
I wear one because it's a law and I don't want a ticket, but everybody else is a shitty driver.
And also you get that ding, ding, ding unless you put it on.
Right.
Yeah, there's that.
Which is a negative reinforcer. Just so, you know, just in like dog training, we're talking about positive and negative stuff. That ding, ding, ding is like, I'm going to be so annoying until you do what I tell you to do. And you're like, fine.
Right, right.
Doesn't hurt, but you do it.
But what do you think about, like, if you're on a hike, can your dog be off leash? I love taking Penelope up on, like, I'm not talking about, like, Fryman Canyon where there's a bunch of people, but, like, a certain, is that, you should still keep your dog on a leash?
I think the coyotes issue right now in LA is really much worse than people think
it is. And what about rattlesnakes?
And if you have a big dog, you are not immune from the coyote problem.
Really?
So I would not be having any dogs off leash really right now. And rattlesnakes are totally scary too. And, you know, Penelope's exactly the dog that'd be like, I'm going to get you, rattlesnake.
Yeah.
She would just be like, oh, come here. Come here, rattlesnake. Yeah. I don't know why I made her like a hick boy. But
I think,
like,
she kind of sounds like that, though.
She's a little butch.
Yeah.
But,
so keep your dog on a leash. Training, training, training.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and with leash training, you got to have, if you're out in public with your dog and you're trying to get them to pay attention to you, it's going to take treats. You can feed them their whole breakfast or dinner that way, or something more high value if you need something more high value. But if you just think, like, you are enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're totally not.
All right. So now I have another.
Just to cut in what you just said, did you just say I could, like, just use all of breakfast during the walk? So I would just bring what I would feed him normally during the day. And then I just sample that out throughout the...
That's how I trained. I had a boxer puppy and I was like, they're notorious jumpers, right? And they're jerks. And I'm like, I will not have an ill-behaved boxer. And every morning I got up an hour before I needed to, which sucked, but I did it. And I put her breakfast in my little treat bag and we walked around the neighborhood for an hour. First week, we didn't even get off the block we lived on. She had no idea what I was trying to teach her. Second week was better. By the third week, we were walking around the block a few times. Fourth week, we were like zigzagging the whole neighborhood and she was understanding what all the commands. I call it like, let's go was her walk command. And every time she'd pull, I'd stop. And like, she's like, this is taking forever. And then she just, you know, she finally got it. We can talk more.
Okay.
But, you know, yeah, you got to have a reward.
Let's take a couple of questions that are not necessarily about training, but some people want to know, like, what is the best way?
Like
Donald Smith says, my wife and I are having our first kid at the end of September. How do we introduce the baby to the dogs? One is a Chihuahua mix, the other a Terrier mix. Any tips?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
Yes. I just did this. I had a couple who just brought home the baby, and I went to the house the day they brought the baby home, and we did a baby introduction with the two dogs in the house.
Uh-huh.
I do everything. I'm there, the birth of children. I'm there for everything. I'm in people's wills. It's amazing.
Concierge.
So there's a training group. I think, what's it called? Puppies and Storks. And these people only deal with this specific training of bringing a baby into a home, even before you have the baby, because, well, you're really close to it. But they'll give you some tips and things to do before. Things that I always recommend, bring in all that baby equipment so the dogs can start sniffing it prior to the day of. Like, all of a sudden, everything's there and everything changes.
Right.
Bring a baby blanket home from the hospital the minute you get one to let the dog sniff. Put it in their crate with them so they get used to that smell. They know things are going on. Do not allow dogs in the baby's room. Like, that has to be a really serious boundary. Like, it's your baby. Like, it's not your puppy. It's your baby. So that baby is up a rung. The dogs are below the baby. It's not their baby. They're not. It's not another baby dog.
What if they don't have like that kind of boundary with the dog? Because our dog has no boundaries. He's wet from the pool. He comes in. He jumps on top of our bed. Sits right on top of my Adam's pillow. Like, no boundaries.
Right. Well, it's not a problem unless it's a problem.
Right.
So, like, if your dog has boundary problems, like, they jump on people, they don't bark. I mean, they don't stop barking when people come to the house. They chew on shit. They don't listen to you. Those are all boundary problems. So, dogs with boundary problems need to have boundaries put
yes,
in.
Right.
So, you don't sleep in bed with that dog. That dog sleeps in a crate. That, you know, you have to, like, start putting things in place. Just like with kids. Like, you don't just leave food out for them all day.
Right.
They eat when you tell them to eat. And all of that stuff. And they eat what you give them. You don't, you know, run around town trying to find stuff for them to eat. Like, you've got to control all those resources mm-hmm. and those boundaries. And some dogs have no boundaries and they don't have boundary problems and it's fine. As long as you don't care if your dog's on your furniture, then who cares?
Mm-hmm.
If they jump on people, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a problem unless it's a problem. So if you have this Chihuahua that we're talking about, not just, you know, generalized Chihuahua behavior, but if that Chihuahua is like sleeping in bed with you, like on your pillow next to your head right now, and you're going to have a baby and you haven't started making that break, you better make that break like today.
Right.
Because that baby's going to be in bed with you because it's got to be because it's a baby.
Of course.
Right. You don't want the Chihuahua getting territorial.
Yes. And biting that baby. Hi. That'll happen.
Right.
It can totally happen.
I think that's how a lot of people end up having to give their pets away, right? Is they don't
absolutely.
Make, they don't pre-plan. That way, and then they're surprised.
Yeah, they just think everybody's going to get along, but they might not. And it's so, you know, start walking this week. If you walk your dogs and you're expecting a baby, start walking your dogs with an empty stroller. You'll look crazy. But you need to get the dog used to walking next to that stroller and be kind of desensitized to it by the time you're actually putting a baby in it and walking.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Somebody wanted to know, somebody had a dog. And they did bring – the dog and the baby were not getting along.
Uh-huh.
What do you do? Just more of the same of what
you
you're
saying?
You
need to have a professional
come
like,
in.
Yeah, I
right.
can't even advise on that. Like,
yeah.
Get a trainer in the house and figure out what's going on. That trainer needs to see with their trained eye what the observable behaviors are. Is that dog guarding? I've had – it's been heartbreaking. Like, I had a woman rescue dog that she loved. The dog loved the daughter. Was not so sure about the 4-year-old son. And, like, the daughter was, like, 9. And so her vibe was way different than the 4-year-old son who was a little, like, yee-haw!
Right.
Right? And he'd be, like, run up to mom to, like, leap into her arms. And that dog would get right in between and growl at him. The dog was guarding mom because the dog
right.
hyper-bonded to mom and just didn't like little boy's energy.
Right.
And it ended up, like, it wasn't fixable because he was a bigger dog and, like, kind of like his nose was right at, like, the height of the boy's face. And
mm-hmm.
it just wasn't going to work. So we had
okay.
to find that dog.
I have a, yeah.
Well, a lot of people have, can we do one
yeah.
more
yeah, yeah.
that I saw as a huge theme?
Yeah.
Is the house dogs that start having accidents in the house. Could that are there a lot of reasons for that? Because so many people are talking about having a dog that was potty trained, housebroken, and then suddenly like
wasn't.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
My friend but I saw this repeatedly on mm-hmm. these questions, but I have a friend who their dog they had worked out a lot of they had a real hard time you know, housebreaking the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Saying potty training,
yeah.
housebreaking the dog, and then they were watching another dog for like the week, for like a week, and then that dog went left, and now their dog that was that's still kind of a puppy totally regressed,
ew,
and started having accidents in the house.
Like kids, would you say it was because of the other dog?
Well, you know, when you were talking about that, I was also reading this question on Facebook from Rose. So you just adopted Chihuahua mix. He's been with you 2 weeks. All right. You haven't in 2 weeks done any training. Not to like judge you, but I'm telling you 2 weeks isn't enough to do anything. That's
right.
Like, I've tried this diet and I haven't lost weight. It's been 2 weeks.
Right.
It's like, no, it's got to be longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
Crate training isn't simply putting your dog in a crate and like making them like it. Crate training from potty training is putting them in the crate and taking them out every 90 minutes to 2 hours to go potty. And then they go back into the crate. And then they come out of the crate in 2 hours and they go potty. So they learn every time they go out of the crate to the place where they potty, they potty. If you've had a kid, you didn't just one day take out their diaper, open the bathroom door and be like, go do it.
Right.
Like you had to break it down. And you had to have a party and give them an M&M and it's yay. You know, it's a potty party.
Now what about that?
I didn't,
like what about
but, yeah.
a lot of people are like, I don't want to put a little fluffy in a crate, that's
then
all.
Don't get a dog.
Then don't get a dog.
Then don't get
what
a dog.
What about a
like,
small,
you have to make this
what
dog.
What about like a small bathroom that's just empty and you just put the wee-wee pads when they're puppies?
I don't do wee-wee pads because I believe once a dog pees inside your house, they think it's okay to pee inside your house.
Yeah.
And a wee-wee pad looks just like a bath mat, looks just like a kitchen rug, looks like anything.
Right.
So, no.
No.
If you can take them outside and you have an outdoor space, take them outside.
Mm-hmm.
Or put that wee-wee pad in one place only. Do not have them all over your house. Put it by the back kitchen door or something. So that's literally where they have to leave every other part of the house and go to the bathroom in that one spot.
Right, because what like people that live in New York, I feel bad for. They're an apartment, you know.
Those New York dogs are great. I was just talking about it the other day. They just – they don't have as many choices as LA dogs.
New York, so much better than LA.
They're delightful, and they are way more balanced than LA dogs who have too many choices.
See.
But so you can't leave your dog in the crate for 10 hours.
Right.
Not acceptable. Dog has to go to the bathroom. So that's what potty training is, taking them out a lot so they understand, giving them every opportunity to go potty. And if you can't be there, then, yeah, you need to get a dog walker.
Right.
Or you need – if you're going to potty pad train them, then put them in an X pen. If it's a chihuahua, not a crate, and then put a potty pad in the X pen, the exercise pen. But, yeah, you gotta make sure the dog – that you have a lifestyle that – Suits owning a dog.
All right.
Yeah.
We have another question up on the board.
This person wants to know how to stop a dog. Okay, so let's say you were letting – what? Is there a funnier one? A better one? Oh, the humping?
The air hump.
Do the head
of another dog.
Yeah, oh, my God. That's funny. Yeah, humping. Let's talk about humping.
Yeah, what the hell?
We love to talk about humping.
I had a female lab that humped. Just does a like does that like you know that motion all the time or whatever like when it's excited.
What's with female dogs?
The worst.
Too?
Yeah, and then my Phil dog now does it to my kids sometimes when they're like wrestling.
That's
it's an over arousal thing.
Ugh, I don't like
it. It's gross.
Yeah,
I think we can all agree. One of my dogs will do that to like the puppies that I have in my house training. The puppies will be laying down sleeping, and he'll just like saddle up like right next to him and like slowly lift his back leg, and then he's like he's in position, and then he just goes down like a jackhammer, and I'm like, stop it! It's so embarrassing.
I know how to do anything right. No, but like I know it's to me, it's like I don't want to think of my dog as having any kind of sexual anything.
Is it an alpha thing too? Because like our dog Penelope does it to my kid, one of my kids only,
the youngest.
Well, their two are the youngest,
right.
The twins, but only one, only one twin. But
which?
If he's the Xander, my boy twin.
So he's not. Are you thinking
sometimes
the smaller?
Yeah,
smaller?
Usually a dog picks a puppy partner in the kids in the family. And for whatever reason, that one child, usually the youngest, is the one that they're just on and just can't differentiate. That's like their playmate, and that's the one that they want to play with the roughest, like a litter mate, and that's why they hump.
Right.
Listen, we're running out of time, and
yeah,
I want to make sure that you get to talk about your show.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell us about your show.
Yeah.
So I've got a show on Animal Planet. It's Saturday nights at 10. It's called Rescue Dog to Super Dog. And it's right on after Pit Bulls and Parolees, since we were talking about Pit Bulls earlier. We took 12 shelter dogs and trained them to be service dogs in training for 12 disabled people.
I love that.
So we follow the stories. We've got, you know, the first episode there was a veteran who has PTSD and manic depression and couldn't even get out of the house in his story with his dog. We have that same episode, Kelly, who has cerebral palsy. She was born, she's 4'8". She wasn't expected to, like, even survive, and she totally thrives, and she's adorable. But she walks with quad canes and has a hard time getting around. We got her a beautiful Great Dane named Nola, who helps her walk, who carries her bags. And it's just a really heartwarming story about saving these animals, and then those animals in turn kind of save the people. So it's kind of
awesome.
That sounds really cliche, but it's awesome.
How can you tell a dog that comes from, you know, that's a rescue dog, how can you tell if they're a good candidate
for service?
Yeah.
It was hard because we had really specific needs. We knew the people first. So we knew what they needed. If they're in a wheelchair and they drop something, they need a dog to pick something up. We need to look for a dog who's interested in holding things in its mouth or retrieving, right? I don't want to totally teach that from scratch, which is why we're looking at adult dogs and why we're at the shelter. So if a dog comes up and you take them and you think they're like seem sweet, they check all the boxes, you take them in the yard, throw the ball, they bring it back, you're like, yes. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for dogs who are confident. Dogs will come to the – I think that's me. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
They'll come to – the front of the kennel and they'll be like, hello, not the dogs that'll like hide and be scared.
Right.
Not that those dogs aren't worth saving and being pets, but they're not going to be service dogs because service dogs have to be out. Yes. And they have to be in public and they have to cope with all of this stuff and stress and work. So we're looking for social dogs, friendly dogs, depending
on
the size.
Age.
We were looking from anything over two, but not really older than four or five because we don't want to get somebody a service dog and then be like, oh, sorry, they're gone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, let's get another one. Mm-hmm. Like we want some longevity in these animals. Right. So on the show, we had everything from a tiny little Havanese to a Great Dane to some German Shepherds to like a poodle. Like you name it, we found it. And, you know, these people have – we have an amputee who had a rock climbing accident. Now her dog like runs down the hallway of her apartment building, hits the elevator button before she gets there. Yeah.
That's so cute.
I know.
How many stories do you do per episode?
Two. So there's another trainer on the show, Nate Schomer, and he and I, you know, this episode split between our two stories.
So and there's 12 episodes, right?
There's six episodes, 12 stories.
Okay.
So this past week was episode 4. So this coming week will be 5, and then we'll be our final week after that.
So you can record them all.
Right.
Yeah.
Animal Planet, Saturday nights at 10, but, you know, plug it into your DVR and then just binge on them.
And then you can go to animalplanet.com and watch full episodes.
Rescue dog to super dog.
And you're going
to
love Laura.
Name of the show.
She's charismatic. Mm-hmm. She just has – I wish I could describe – your energy over the podcast.
I think that you came off pretty. Yeah, I think people.
Right?
Yes.
I knew I loved her. Like, when the second she walked in my house, I was like, oh,
I thought she was a comedian friend. And I was like, where's the dog trainer?
Yeah, I do. I get to do a little stand up when I'm doing my, you know, my spiels with people. It's very funny. And I love it. Like, Stephanie, I love, like, when I have clients who get my crazy and I get their crazy, like off the bat, we're like, oh, we're fine.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll have some like straight laced clients and I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. We can still do this, but it's not going to be half as fun.
Nah, I know. Now, before we let you go, though, I want to ask you this. If somebody wants to help the dogs that are lost or need to be saved or in the rescues in Houston, in the Texas area,
I'm going there in 2 weeks. I can't even wait.
What can we do to help? Like, what organization? Because I wanted to help, but I don't know. Like, some people are like, don't go to Red Cross. They don't.
Austin Pets Alive, they're based out of Austin. They are spearheading the rescue efforts in Houston. I'm going down there in 2 weeks, a little under 2 weeks to help them.
What's it called?
Austin Pets Alive, APA. And they're working with Best Friends Animal Society.
Okay.
Which is a national organization in getting, they got boots on the ground in Houston. They pulled a bunch of dogs out of Houston and Montgomery County and they brought them back up to Austin so they can identify them, you know, scan microchips, reunite, things like that, put ones out for adoption, rescue the ones that need rescue. And, you know, they, all donations can go to them. You can go to the Austin Pets Alive website. I think right now they've got so many physical, donations like crates and food and tons and they're running out of space to even like put it anywhere. So I think they're just taking money right now, which is cool. Mm-hmm. But they're a wonderful organization. I love them. Love them dearly. And
fabulous.
My people.
I just wonder if you lost a dog and it doesn't have a chip. And if somebody found a dog that doesn't have a chip, like, is there a website that they can go to?
Well, you know what's interesting?
To help each
other? I want to say it's called Finding Rover off the top of my head, and I might be wrong. And if I'm wrong, I'll correct it and we'll put it on the Facebook page. But there is an app that you can take a picture of your dog, and it uses facial recognition. I'm sorry, that's my phone. I forgot to turn it off.
Yeah.
I'm just horrible.
It's okay.
I'm so unpopular.
We're
that
super
I didn't
unprofessional
think.
Anyway.
Okay.
So.
Take a picture of the dog.
Take a picture of the dog. It uses facial recognition technology. So all of SPCA in Houston is downloading this now. So they will take pictures of the dogs that they have And if you download a picture of a dog that you, an older picture of a dog of your dog that you've lost, those two things can connect and you can find your dog.
And it's an app.
It's an app. It's Finding Rover.
Finding Rover.
And if I'm wrong, I'll correct that on Facebook.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's super amazing. They use it in some of the shelters across the country. But
okay. Yeah. So
that's the tricky part. Microchip your dog.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Some people microchip and then they never go actually.
Right.
Finish. Yeah.
Now, if you want to if you want to connect with Laura London, you can go to her website, which is lauralondon.com, or you can find her on Twitter at Laura L. London. And if you live anywhere locally, you know, you could
You're not going to get her services because you got to get on her wait list.
Super busy.
Yeah.
But I'm also on Instagram, too, if you want to just see cute pictures of puppies, Laura L. London on that.
Okay. Okay.
And then Facebook, you know, they made me do some sort of public figure one for the show, so you can like that page, too. Laura L. London. It's all Laura London. I'm everywhere.
Okay, awesome. And thank you so much for coming in here.
Thank you.
And
I think
we learned a lot.
Yes, we did. I have some questions off the air, but
this will continue.
I'll call you. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay. Well, before we go completely, ADT, you guys, ADT.
Security.
Security. I mean.
And for your dogs.
Yes. Some people have a dog to help protect their house, but you know what? Who's protecting your dog?
Nobody.
That's who. If you have ADT, ADT is protecting your dog. Dogs are a precious commodity, people. I mean, I love my dog, and if somebody broke in and stole my dog, that would be the worst thing that ever happened. But guess what? With ADT, that's not going to happen because your house is going to be alarmed. Your windows are going to have alarms. Your doors are going to have alarms. They are one of the most they're the most trusted company ever. They've been around for 140 years. They know what they're doing. They've been in the game a minute. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
ADT will come over. They'll send a person over. They'll help you figure out everything that you need to do to have the best strategy for security in your house. So visit ADT.com. For license information and terms and conditions, visit ADT.com. And also,
Sword and Scale.
Sword and Scale Rewind. We're about to record a couple episodes of Sword and Scale Rewind. We're so excited. It's like our new favorite thing to do. We love true crime.
We love it.
Listen to the episode, two of our favorite episodes in a row coming up. Episode 15, which will be available next Wednesday, is about Byron, the guy who, speaking of home security, he killed two people that were trying to break into his home. And
oh, no, that's
16. The security system caught it all. No, it's 15.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And do you remember this case?
No.
Oh, yeah. He went away for life. The episode 15 is the two stories. Oh, yeah, Peter Keller.
Right. The guy that.
The
right,
survivalist.
Right,
right,
yeah.
Who, that was a crazy episode.
That was
too,
the
built
first
a bunker.
Story. Yeah. That was the first story.
Yeah.
In
the
15.
Same episode. Yeah, and then in that same episode was the whole thing about fire. It's very controversial because some people feel that he was protecting his home.
Right.
These two kids were breaking in over and over. And then he
got
lied in wait, laid in wait.
Mm-hmm.
Laid in wait for these. He set him up. He sat with a gun.
See, that's kind of
weird. And then he shot them both.
Oh, yeah. It's weird.
And killed him.
Creepy. You should hear his
teenagers.
We have the audio of him talking about it. And the audio of him killing them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's
when
crazy.
It is crazy. But,
and then the next one was Stephen McDaniel, who killed Lauren Gibbings.
Right.
Giddings.
Macon, Georgia.
Yeah, and then he went on the news, and he was just like, she's a good friend of mine.
I'm very concerned.
Yeah, I don't know who would hurt her. Who would hurt her?
No.
You would.
Yeah.
Psycho.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I wasn't crying about killing her, just hurting her. That seems unfair.
Right.
Yeah. So that's coming up. So listen to the original episode, and then listen to Sword and Scale Rewind.
Yeah.
And then also, just Patreon. Lynette and I do a little bonus episode every week. We do about like 20 minutes of extra bonus juicy content.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want that,
it's our safe space.
$5 a month, go to patreon.com, look up For Crying Out Loud, and sign up for $5. I subscribe to other people's Patreon when I want their bonus content. So why wouldn't you subscribe to ours?
Yeah.
And if you want to be $50 a month pledging persons, I don't know. Is there a word for that?
Mm-hmm.
You will get your business will get a shout out. And because it's the beginning of September, We have some new ones, some people that signed up last month, and now they're going to start getting their little business shout out, like Valerie from Usborne Books. They're an independent consultant. Books are books. Important. Reading's fundamental. And they do educational books. So you can choose from 2,000 colorful and fun titles, and you can find her at on Facebook at Vamacias, Vamacias dot Usborne. Or you can email her at Vamacias2001@gmail.com. That was not as smooth as I had hoped it was going to go.
No, that's okay.
The Wayne Foundation. You know the Wayne Foundation. They help people get out of sexual trafficking.
Yes.
Mostly women.
Why would I know
some
them?
Some boys. Yeah. Well,
you know
Lynette
them.
Does.
You know them.
I know
wink,
them.
Wink, wink.
I donated.
Yes. Go to waynefdn.org to help. You can make donations. And Jamie Walton helps work with law enforcement to help save people. Preppy Prodigy, that's a boutique supply company. They're great because for every item sold, a spiral notebook or pencil set is donated to a child in the foster care system. So go to preppyprodigy.com. Let's see. Heather Nesbitt, you know Heather Nesbitt, she's a LuLaRoe consultant. So go to Heather N. LuLaRoe on Facebook or LuLaRoe Heather Nesbitt. Heather Nesbitt.
Heather Nesbitt.
What's wrong with me today?
It's okay. I know.
Heather Nesbitt. She's awesome. LuLaRoe. Lip Sense. Oh, my gosh. Brooke
you
is
want
sending
the champagne.
Us the pink champagne. Yeah, yay. And a color called Bella that looked really good on the website I'm getting.
Nice.
If you want to learn more about Lip Sense that lasts for 18 hours, find her on Facebook at Kiss and Makeup by Brooklyn. Monica Little Wellness. Her passion is helping you find natural solutions for your health and home. Email her, monicalittlewellness@gmail.com. We have a new one. Zaya Active. These are those, the legging. Kind of like LuLaRoe.
I was just wearing them over
LuLaRoe,
the weekend.
Kind of like
Lululemon. Lululemon, yes.
It's exercise pants. You're going to like this. Zaya Active. It's premium fitness gear and accessories, and they're like really good workout pants. Sizes for all XXS to XXL. And you can find her at My Zaya. And you spell it like this: MYZYIA.com/Leah LEAH. Okay? Or you can go to Zaya Active Athletic Gear.
It's really cute.
At Zaya Active. Anyway. All right. I'll do more next week. I mean, on Friday's show.
I got a situation brewing.
Talk. Okay. Anyway. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura
thank
London.
You. Thank
we
you.
Love you. Come back again. Will
I'd
you come
love
back
to.
Again?
Sure.
I don't
Please.
Even feel like we got
yeah,
to everything.
No, I know. Come and we'll like actually like bring that dog that's not trained. Bring him.
Okay. He's sort of trained.
All right. Literally. All right. I know he's so mad at me now.
Thank you. You're a parent now.
Don't F it up.
Stop what you're doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather round, I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I drink a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf, so just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with the umpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk thee. And all the rappers in the top 10, please allow me to bump thee. I'm stepping tall, y'all, and just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like to rhyme, I like my beats funky, I'm spunky. I like my oatmeal lumpy, I'm sick with this. Straight gangster Mac. But sometimes I get ridiculous. I'll eat up all your crackers and your licorice. Oh, yo, fat girl, come here, are you ticklish? Yeah, I called you fat. Look at me, I'm skinny. It never stopped me from getting busy. I'm a freak. I like the girls with the boom. I once got busy in a Burger King bathroom. I'm crazy. Allow me to amaze thee. They say I'm ugly, but it just don't faze me. I'm still getting in the girls' pants, and I even got my own dance.
The Humpty Dance is your chance to do the
come on, I do the Humpty Hop. Check me out, y'all. I do the Humpty Hop. Just watch me do the Humpty Hop. Yeah. Do you know what I'm doing? Doing the Humpty Hop. Come on. I do the Humpty Hop.
do the Humpty Hump. People say you're Humpty, you're really funny looking. That's alright, cause I get things cooking. You stare, you glare, you constantly try to compare me, but you can't get near me. I'm giving more C, and on the floor B, all the girls, they adore me. Oh yes, ladies, I'm really being sincere, cause in the 69, my Humpty nose will tickle your rear. My nose is big, I'm not ashamed, big like a pickle. I'm still getting paid, I get laid by the ladies, you know I'm in charge. Both how I'm living and my nose is large. I get stupid, I shoot an arrow like Cupid. I use a word that don't mean nothing, like Luke did. I sang on Do What You Like, and if you missed it, I'm the one who said, just grab them in the biscuits. Also told you that I like to bite. Well, yeah, I guess it's obvious, I also like to write. All you had to do was give Humpty a chance, and now I'm gonna do my dance.
The Humpty dance is your chance to do the hump.
Come on, yeah, sexy lady.
Do the Humpty
come
hump.
Come on, I'll do the Humpty hump. Y'all. Let that bass groove right here. Yeah. Now that I told y'all a little bit about myself, let me tell you a little bit about this dance. It's real easy to do. Check it out. First I limped to the side like my leg was broken, shaking and twitching kinda like I was smoking. Crazy, whack, funky. People say you look like MC Hammer on crack, Humpty. That's alright, cause my body's in motion. It's supposed to look like a fit or a convulsion. Anyone can play this game. This is my dance, y'all. Humpty Hump's my name. No two people will do it the same. You got it down when you appear to be in pain. Humping, funking, jumping, gig around, shaking your rump. And when a doodoo chump punk points a finger like a stunt, tell him step off, I'm doing the hump.
The Humpty dance is your chance to do the hump.